Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Yes, sir. A Bears hit with Mark Grody. By the way, our segment with Mark Grody is brought to you by McGrath City Honda. When you do the math, you choose McGrath. Hey, Groats.
What's going on, gentlemen? Obviously, frigid cold out here at Hallis Hall today, and the Bears today performed a walkthrough practice. I do believe it was in the outdoors, but again, a walkthrough practice. So everything that you see appearing or are hearing about on the injury report for the Bears is just an estimation, and the estimations are in, and the following players did not, would not have practiced today, including Ryan Bates, Josh Blackwell, Jervon Dexter, Roschon Johnson, as well as DeAndre Swift. And one other injury note, too, that Jaquan Brisker would be eligible to come off IR and potentially play this week. Thomas Brown did not rule out that possibility, but certainly did not give us any direction on whether or not Brisker would play. We're just talking about it with a few other media members just now. I would tend to doubt that that would be a good idea, but we shall see. He would be eligible. Front and center today, guys, of course, was Caleb Williams.
Hey, Groats, before you get to that, can I just do one more ask one more thing about the injury?
Yeah.
Thing? Blackwell, it could be important because he was the punt returner with now DeAndre Carter on injured reserve, right? So it's kind of an interesting thing in terms of Blackwell in that way.
Yeah. Blackwell today, he was, yes.
Non-participant, so.
Yeah, well, all right. Hold on. Maybe no, you're right.
Maybe it's only interesting to me, Mark. I'm sorry I derailed you. I'd like to apologize to everybody. I'd like to point the thumb.
No, that's totally fair. That's totally fair, man. Yeah, no, I was just like looking at my phone here. I'm like, yeah, I did not mention Josh Blackwell there. And while I'm at it, Elijah Hicks does have an ankle injury. He was limited, and good to see that Travis Homer was a full participant. But yeah, with DeAndre Swift going on IR, they've got to figure out who exactly is going to be returning the kicks, and we shall see.
Yeah, DeAndre Carter. Okay, sorry. Now let's get back to our regularly scheduled Mark Grody appearance.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you, John.
John Heyman, not a fan of the last exchange.
Oh man, it's gonna be a long time before I that doesn't get me every time. All right, Caleb Williams and how he has been dealing. How have you been handling all the losing, Caleb Williams?
Yeah, it's tough. It's interesting. Is the way I put it. I've never had a streak like this of losing. Am I playing? So I ask questions. I do understand that. This is one my first time kind of being a part of something like this of losing and this streak going. So I ask questions to the guys that may have lost a bunch of games or in a row like this or had losing seasons. I ask some questions. Because the more knowledge that I have prepares me for the future. If this ever comes close to something like this again, and I'm going to work hard and make sure it doesn't. But if it ever happens again, figuring out ways to, you know, keep going, keep pushing, because it's part of it. You know, seasons like this happen every once in a while, and being able to learn from it, being able to address it, like you spoke about with TB, he's addressing it, and you know, being able to respond is the most important thing.
You know, a lot of times Caleb has talked about his college career, like he had adversity and he had some, and he would point to like certain things that he could relate to. Hey, it's all right to be honest about how this is new territory.
Yeah, when he talks about it, it's weird and it's tough to deal with. And he's talked to other players in the locker room. Like we were, know your Bears losing streaks. We were talking about it, you know, about Jalen Johnson and Cole Kmet. You can go right to those guys and they'd be like, yo, we've dealt with these losing streaks every single, you should have been around for this 10 gamer we had, man. It was something. So I think that he does find some comfort, some solace in having those conversations with some of the veteran players. And for any college player, like any great college player who comes into the pros and they have to deal with losing for the first time in their life, it's not uncommon.
Yeah, but like there's a difference between we lost a couple of games and we might end up 4-13.
Yeah, like we've lost 7 in a row. What's it like? Who do you walk up to? Hey, Cole, come here. Cole, let's talk. Yeah.
You've been on a bunch of bad teams. What's it like?
Hey, loser.
This is how it feels.
Hey, could I get some losers over here to talk to me about this?
Every damn week we lost for 10 weeks, Caleb. Don't you come here with this 7-game losing streak. Nobody wants to hear about it. But yeah, I mean, this has been, I mean, to add to your point, Lawrence, there's also been an offensive coordinator fired. There's been a head coach that has been fired. There's a new head coach. There's a new offensive coordinator. I mean, it's dizzying to me. I don't know about you guys, but the perspective that Caleb Williams continues to have no matter what he says when he actually goes home for the day and he throws his feet up and he's shaking his head, there's probably a different Caleb Williams there.
Sure.
He's handled it all pretty well.
He's doing all the things that you need to do as a quarterback of a franchise. I'm amazed as a rookie he's handled this as well as he's handled it.
Absolutely. But like, we spent some time yesterday or 2 days ago telling Caleb and telling the Bears to let it fly. And sometimes when you're losing a lot like this, your priorities can change. So he's probably, you know, I would think having some of those kind of conversations. Caleb's the one who called Ryan Poles the king when he showed up at training camp and Hard Knocks. He's caught there saying like, oh, there he is, the king. How's he feel about Ryan Poles now?
The Don, as I call him. The Poles, Don. Chef Poles.
Chef, the Don, the chef.
Oh, wow. Man, I can't believe it.
He did, I would say, as a headline. I don't know if that made sense, what I just did, but I did it.
I can't even believe it.
Thank you,
John. I can't even believe it.
I'm never going to get enough of that. Caleb Williams, I would say, gave a vote of confidence to Ryan Poles. But the question to Caleb Williams is why?
Being able to be around him, being able to see the type of guy he is, how much he cares. Y'all only get to see a glimpse of it from y'all's perspective. And then obviously, you know, in the media, and we did Hard Knocks recently and kind of got a glimpse of it. But, you know, the amount that he cares about us, Chicago Bears, and wanting to win is why my faith is in him and believing in him and, you know, making sure that we get it right. And that's a short answer to it.
What about from a personnel and planning standpoint?
Yeah, I can't speak on personnel and planning because I'm not in there. I'm not in there, you know, asking questions about who, what. I'm not in there, you know, discussing further plans and things like that with him. Like I said before, it's not my job. But you know, from my perspective, and the player and being here now for a good little minute, you know, you see how much he cares about the right things. And you know, that being us and our development and all of those things, you know, I think him leaning in those things, you know, helps show us as players that he does care and that he does want to win and, you know, trying to find ways to win. And it's, you know, just like playing quarterback, it's a hard job being able to, you know, predict the future and making sure you get the right people here. But, you know, I think he's so far done a good job.
It's got to be so rough for him because we're asking this 22-year-old to speak to the organizational problems of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it's unfair, but I understand why the questions are asked.
No, I do too. It's just that this is exactly what he didn't want to have happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And all of it has happened.
Yeah.
And that sucks for him.
I wonder if he wants to say, I don't know, I just want to play quarterback, man. I'm worried about my own thing. And that'd be okay. It'd be okay. If he ever snaps and says that at any point, I'm not going to get upset with him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's kind of what he was saying, but and I was one of the people that opened up this line of questioning.
I'm not surprised. Stir in the pot, Grody.
You know how I do. You know,
I can't even believe it.
Thank you,
John. I can't even believe it.
Oh, man. What I am measuring, I think, with Caleb Williams is at what point does he become unhappy? Because right now, you're right, Spiegel, it does sound like he's very willing to be like, hey, look, what Ryan Poles does with personnel, that's not my business. But at what point in time, like any quarterback that is good, and we know that he's not there yet. He's not a great quarterback yet in the NFL, but it sure seems like he's headed in that general direction. At what point will they begin to acquire their own power and become unhappy? Because at the very bottom line, it was important enough for Ryan Poles to have a conversation with Carl Williams, his dad, and Caleb, and give them the whys on why is it going to be different this time around with this organization. So that's my motivation, is this kid happy here? And I think that's a temperature that we're going to probably take throughout his entire tenure, depending on what happens, on how good or bad he becomes as a quarterback.
I mean, Tanny's the one who knows all the mob history and the mob movies, but it's rare that a Don becomes the underboss. You know what I mean? Usually the Don has to get whacked, and then there's a new underboss. But we'll see how it develops, sir. What else you got from Caleb?
Yeah, you know, he was asked what he wants to work on, like to the point of let's just get out here and play football over the next four games. What does he want to work on? And then what about his relationship with Thomas Brown?
You know, I still want to keep working on my feet and things like that. I think that's one of the things, making sure just being – completely in rhythm throughout the whole game. I think that's one that, excuse me, one that I want to work on. And I think Thomas and I have done a solid job so far. Obviously, it can be better. You know, there's small mistakes that maybe the snap point of certain motions and you know, things like that that I can get better at. That mean, you know, a lot to a defense if we have a fast motion where we snap it. You know, means a lot to the other side of the ball. So being detailed, being on point, you can always, you know, get better and grow from there.
Groats, was he asked at all about holding the ball longer this past week? What you know, if that was an issue from his perspective?
Yeah, not really specifically this past week, but in general, the idea of him taking a lot of sacks did come up. And I know that that's obviously what you're referencing. And he said he kind of, again, generalizing what he said, it's a work in progress. He said some of it's his fault. He says sometimes it's not all of his fault. So I think it's something that is very much on his mind, Speaks, and something that they're working on in terms of something that he knows he's got to get better at, but I think there's a collective going on here, obviously.
I mean, I know that he spoke about the situation with Thomas Brown, but it is different. Like, because Thomas Brown now isn't just focusing on Caleb, like, that relationship becomes a little bit different. And I think that Thomas Brown is trying to find his footing, too, on handling all of this. And it's part of the reason, Groats, that the Spiegs and I were both like, you know what? Like, I'm not saying do anything that's necessarily outside of the game plan, but I'd be totally okay if Caleb was like, yep, I'm just going to take some risk in this game because screw it. Why not take the risk? Because it's not like if you play bad, you have a 3-pick game that you're keeping the Bears from being a playoff team.
Yeah, a programming note, in about 1 hour, we'll ask Troy Aikman about this exact issue. Go ahead, Groats.
Oh, nice, nice. No, I think, how about early in the game, too? You know, the early drives have been atrocious. Why not heaving it on the first play of the game, or get, you're right, get ballsy on that, because nothing has worked. I mean, they've looked embarrassing on their opening drives over the last several weeks. Like, not just bad, but three and out, clunky bad. So, right, why not unwind it just a little bit?
Texture says, it's so cool that our veterans are going to teach our new rookie quarterback how to be a loser in this loser organization.
Come here, kid. That's too bad. Komet's like, yo, I got $50 million after last year.
Oh,
yo.
God.
Did you talk to anyone else who's had a hard time losing lately?
Yeah. Well, I thought, yeah, I got a couple cuts here from Jalen Johnson. And first of all, let's discuss the season is not over angle with Jalen Johnson.
When you get to the point like this where there's like quote unquote nothing left to play for, especially playoff wise, is it tough at that point to still be all in all the time?
No, it's not hard at all. I mean, when you step between those lines, you're trying to whip the man in front of you. So I mean, that's still what the game is about. It's simplify, yeah, playoff hopes and all that, but you still play for your name. Your resume is still out there. So I mean, you can tank all you want, and that film is going to be out there forever. So I mean, I know when I step out there, there's always something to prove, regardless of circumstances.
Yeah, you can tank all you want. Been there.
Keep it there. Right.
My God.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah. So bad. And now let's check this out. Now, Jalen Johnson, we know how frustrated he's been. I've listened to him on with you guys, which is always incredible radio. How honest, and how down he's been. But this was interesting. A little bit of a different tone about dealing with this 7-game losing streak. Here's Jalen again.
Honestly, I would say checking myself. I think starting with just showing gratitude, honestly, because it's been a tough few months now at this point. So, I mean, honestly just thanking God for the opportunity to play this game, because, I mean, it could be a lot worse. I cannot be healthy. I cannot do a lot of things. I cannot be playing a game that I love. So, I mean, honestly, just showing gratitude. And then with that, that brings me more motivation to keep going out there and playing, knowing that I have more opportunities to play. And, again, cherishing these moments with these guys in the locker room. I mean, we want to compete. I mean, not even want to compete. We go and compete, and we want to play and win every game that we can. But sometimes it doesn't work out like that. But we can still have fun, still approach the game the right way, have the right attitude. And at the end of the day, it's all about gratitude.
There you go, Jalen. That's how you get through life in a moment like this. It's exactly
isn't that nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the real deal.
Right. A little holiday gratitude in the 7-game losing streak.
Look, man, you gotta
do it.
You gotta do it.
A lot of us do it.
Although that is one of the things that Matt Eberflus got ridiculed for when he was like, "We have a lot of things to be thankful for." And they're like, Jalen was like, "Get your ass up out of here!" We're thankful.
Well, there's a time and a place. There's a time and a place. I mean, it's like you can't spin it positive after you've been the guy blowing a fourth game in 5 weeks.
Guys, humility is only possible when the head coach is fired.
Guys, I know that things didn't go well, and I froze in those last 30 seconds of the game, but. You got to be thankful.
I know, your phones are blowing up with people laughing at you.
I know that you got a video of Bill Cowher calling me an idiot, but you got to be thankful. And I just imagine Jay just be like, enough, enough, get your ass up out of here. You stink.
I'm just like going back on my notes from the last Vikings game, because you had that the 4th and 4 where Cairo Santos starts to make his way on the field. No, go out. No, come back. Come back. That was the flu. What else happened? That DeAndre Carter muffed the punt.
Oh yeah.
Good Jordan fun. Addison had 162 yards.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Hockenson had that 134 yard play.
Oh God. Yeah. I don't know. We got time to get ready for the next Vikings loss.
I feel like I'm losing you guys.
What else do you have?
It's interesting
because Thomas Brown, I know you've got a Thomas Brown cut. I wonder, was he feisty at all? Was Thomas Brown feisty at all? Was he annoyed at the effort or, today?
No, he really, he wasn't actually.
Okay.
He was what happened?
Sorry, I can't even believe it.
I'm sorry to interrupt, guys. Sorry to interrupt the Mully Festival.
That's okay. It's okay.
I thought this was the fun show. Oh, yeah, now you want to get real serious in your Bears breakdown? Is that what you want to do?
Why did you ask me about Josh Blackwell?
Yeah.
cares about who's been
How about that?
Hey, Lawrence.
How about that, Mr. In the Weeds?
Yeah.
What's up with that, man?
Hey, Lawrence, this is your show now. You want to make fun of the other show, the fun show? What are you talking about? You're responsible for what happens here as much as the rest of us.
Right. And two of us were having fun.
Yeah.
Unlock me.
Professor.
I have Josh Blackwell questions.
Yeah, Josh Blackwell. What? How dare you ask me about the second string kick returner when I'm not ready for that?
No one was ready for that.
Yeah, nobody. I already feel enough shame for it, okay?
I can't believe it that you did that.
I can't even believe it.
This has been a disaster. This whole thing.
You're never going on WFAN again.
I'm never coming on with you guys again.
And right, fuck Thomas, it.
Thomas Brown. Guys, motions are up 10% since he has taken over as the play caller. Check this out, Speaks, from Thomas Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, I think for me it was less about that and just more about what I believe philosophically as far as how you build an offense, the difficulties. You talk to defensive coaches of them having to adapt and adjust to, you know, 2x2 to 3x1 motions on a move, full speed, and forcing guys to communicate. I think it also becomes very difficult in this league. I don't care who you're playing with to just be static and line up and beat people. I've been giving them different pitchers, but also giving our guys access in the run game, but also in the pass game was the biggest part of it.
Yeah, so that's cool. I mean, you need a lot of pre-snap motion. You got to try and confuse the defense in this league.
Well, and you can give your quarterback a better snapshot.
Yeah.
It helps in that regard.
And it connects with what Caleb was saying, something he can do better, when to snap the ball at certain times on that motion to make sure, because clearly – the guys who do that a lot in the NFL, like Brock Purdy and Goff, who are taking advantage of that kind of thing, the timing is immaculate in those offenses when they're really clicking.
A couple of other things I had. I double circled back to Caleb Williams. I'd actually wanted to ask him about some of the throws that he had in the Minnesota game. Didn't get a chance to during the press conference. But so I went up to him at his locker and I said, "Those the three throws you had, the 40-yarder to Keenan Allen against Minnesota, which was that drop in the bucket, the 30-yarder to Swift, remember where he rolls out of pressure and then throws down the sideline and Swift helps him out." So I asked him about that. Like, was that one of your best throws this year? And he looked at me and he goes, "I don't know." He's like, "I feel like I did that a lot in college." He's like, "Yeah, that really wasn't that big a deal." But he did say that the throw to Keenan Allen, that he would put that in his top five. And then he was a little bit conflicted about the 27-yard bullet that he threw to DJ Moore to set up the game tying field goal against Minnesota, which might have been his best. But that one was like, look, he's like, "I just had to make that play." He's like, "That's do or die at that point." So it was cool to just kind of pick his brain on like what I think are elite throws and the way he perceives them as well.
We still have a lot to be thankful for.
I'm glad that you doubled back like with that, because like, I don't want him to be sitting there at the or standing there at the podium just getting sad questions.
Yeah, no, there's
that's true.
There's a line of Bears loser players who are waiting to tell him how to live his life.
Right. I was like,
there's a procession of people who've lost a lot of games to tell him how to live.
I wanted to be like, "Do you remember when you threw that 40-yard pass to Keenan Allen
down
the field?" Did you remember at the end of the game? And then
when you guys almost won and then your coach blew it?
Mm.
Yeah, awesome. In each locker stall at Hallis Hall was a glistening, beautiful looking, and I mean this, bottle of tequila, like designer tequila.
Who's making tequila up there?
Stand by. Was called Casa del Sol, Bears, and it was in doing some investigative reporting, as we all kind of were, but we all had our own sources. Per my source, it was courtesy of Simone Biles and Jonathan Owens.
They have their own?
It would appear, now I did not see Jonathan Owens in the locker room.
Casa del Sol.
Casa del Sol. House of the Sun, I guess that would be, right?
It's Eva Longoria's tequila.
Eva Longoria's tequila.
That is? Yeah.
It is?
They might be partners, but I'm on the website right now, Eva Longoria.
Oh, sick. Okay.
I'm also looking up Eva Longoria.
This bottle is... Hey, that's a $200 bottle of tequila.
I'm looking up Evan Longoria, who is not involved in this tequila.
There's no way it can be better than Clase Azul, right?
I mean,
$200.
Why should we say that it's not?
We should just go get one,
just in case. Maybe Casa del Sol would like to. You know, the Wani segment's coming up in a half an hour.
Do you grab one, Grody? Was there one? Did Nate Davis still have a locker or something? You grab a bottle of tequila.
He's still playing ping pong.
Yeah, no, but there was. I guess per my podcast partner Dan Wiederer, Jalen Johnson said as we were gathering around his locker, and I was a little bit late to the scrum, said, if there's any bad questions, you have to do a shot. So as Wiederer said, I was tempted to ask some bad questions just to get a shot.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
nuggets. So excellent tidbits.
I figured you guys would like that. So
We do.
We like you, Mark.
That is all.
Who'd be the drunkest beat reporter, Grody, if that was a rule? Who would be hammered by the time they walked out of there?
Finley.
I have no idea. You know what? Honestly, let me think. Okay, hold on.
I would say
I don't think Potsy drinks.
Oh wow.
I think that's kind of it's wild to consider.
Fishbane.
And no, all those guys are reserved. They're all like young dads. Honestly, Emma.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm not just saying that because he's Emma. I don't even know if Emma would like me saying that, but I'm thinking around that room. Maybe Shark. Maybe the Sharky. I think the Shark. Yeah, maybe the Shark.
Thanks, Groats. Hey, would you voicemail me off the air with your Josh Blackwell information?
Yeah, okay? You know what? I'm going to get the entire depth chart of who might be returning kicks this week.
We'll build you an app.
Yeah. We'll build you an app. All right, guys, that's it. I can't believe it. Goodbye.
I can't even believe it. I can't even believe it.
Oh, God, he can't.
It's amazing.
Lawrence, our Cubs thoughts need to come together. At the beginning of the day, I had a Cub thought and you had a Cub thought. I think they can live hand in hand.
I don't know if we'll have enough time.
We'll
see.
I mean, we could.
No.
Jed doesn't think so.
No, I will have time because the other thing, I mean, it is a nice get off my lawn moment for you.
Yeah.
The segment behind it. But
the Cubs thing isn't going anywhere and they haven't done anything.
No, let's... All right, your call. I'm good with whatever you want to do.
Let's back pocket the Cubs thing.
Okay.
I instead have a small baseball item I've been dying to talk to you guys about. Let's do the shorty baseball item.
Okay.
And then I'll get you off my basketball lawn. All of this before Dave Wanstead and Troy Aikman in the next hour on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
Jake Berger gets a hold of one deep to left center. That ball is gone! White Sox lead 3-2.
Jake Berger, former White Sox first round pick, multiple. Was it the Achilles twice? Or was it the Achilles and then the ACL, or the ACL then the Achilles?
I thought it was Achilles twice.
It might have been Achilles twice. Incredible comeback. A breath of fresh air and some good fun on a crap-ass White Sox team. Traded to the Marlins last year. He had 22 home runs from July 1st until the end of the season. So traded to the Marlins 2 years ago. But last year, he had 22 homers from July 1st till the end of the season. Third most in the National League during that span, behind only Shohei Ohtani and Eugenio Suarez of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And now, Skip Schumacher, the former Marlins manager, becomes a front office member in Texas, and his first move is to trade for Jake Berger. First move of him being there.
That's really interesting. I'm happy for Jake, man. That's awesome.
And Schumacher loves him. You can find notes about their relationship from all through last year and the way them talking about each other, really connected, really bonded. And I realized he's not as good an on-base threat, but he gives me hardcore right-handed Kyle Schwarber vibes. Right now, he doesn't walk enough, but that swing is going to get him 30, 35 homers every year that he's healthy enough, maybe more. He doesn't walk enough. The on-base percentage isn't there. But you
he's
not,
enough of a slugger.
Oh, he's such a slugger. He's going to homer against anybody. And he is, he's a beloved teammate already. You knew it here. Fans love him. Teammates love him. He's going to stick around as a slugger for hire for as long as he can remain healthy. And I bet you Jake Berger is going to be on some successful teams before he's done. So, look, the on-base comp is not there, but the slug
is.
The slug is. And the slug is and the vibe is. And the Chicago love affair with a smaller contingent than the Cubs and Schwarber. But I realized he gives me right-handed Schwarber vibes. He's going to hang around this league a long time.
Well, I'm happy for him because you're sitting there and you're wondering. You're like, okay, what is this guy? And I'm glad that he played his way off of the White Sox, played his way onto a team competing for a playoff spot, and now has extra time in the league on a team that should be representatively competitive next year. That's good stuff. I'm happy that he landed where he landed.
Yeah, me too. And he, when he got traded, he had, well, I think it was 9 homers in 53 games for the Marlins after he got traded. And then last year he had, 29 total, and as I mentioned, 22 from July 1st to the end of the year. And now a Texas Ranger. There's a bunch of little stuff going on out there in MLB, some lingering things, and nothing yet on Cubs trade news. We'll have more time to talk about that.
Yes, but clearly there's a get off your lawn thing that you have to get done. Get off your basketball court.
Get off my basketball lawn. I bet you'll join me.
I'm sure I will because I've been an old man this week. I have been because the Rome dancing celebration
You and Lance were bothered by that.
It bothered me. I don't have a problem with guys dancing. I just would like for you to understand that when you look up at the scoreboard and you're down 4 possessions and you're on a losing streak.
I mean, this whole show has had a thing.
Maybe not great.
Shane was going off on the Gen Z.
Yeah, he hates
Gen Z folks.
Yeah, he
hates them. He thinks their work ethic sucks.
He is not a fan.
No.
But you're going to jump into the old man game?
Yeah, I got it.
In the next segment?
I'll take this one for
all right.
The team.
All right, maybe I'll join you in saying, get the hell off my lawn. Next on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
The Nets advance. Claxton, bad pass. Intercepted by Giddey. On the runway with the two-handed slam dunk. Josh Giddey eating some rum in Chicago.
But
that's Lawrence Holmes' favorite Chicago Bull. He loves that guy's game. No, not Chuck Swirsky. You do love Swirsky's game.
The legend? Hell yeah.
It's Josh Giddey's game you're not a fan of. Tell people what you hate about Josh Giddey's game,
that
Lawrence.
It always feels like he's in the middle of a rec league game, that there's no urgency to his game at all. He would prefer not to play defense one bit, and that's it. Like, I have no time for I get how talented he is.
Yeah.
I get how tantalizing his talent is, but it's a guy that you can't count on at the end of the game, even though he's shooting threes better. I have no use for him.
And he looks like he's always trying to control the pace and get everything slowed down to his tempo. And there's some guys in the league. You know that dude Kyle Anderson?
Yes.
He busts his ass to try and play good defense, which is why even though he's kind of slow and he's not a great shooter, but he's a good passer, he's played on a lot of pretty decent teams through the years. He's had a long, nice career.
Since we're bitching about the Bulls and no one cares on this show except for me, and I'm all right with that, because why would you, right? Like, why would you?
Well, I would care. I'll care soon.
I saw my guy Darnell Mayberry do a story about Patrick Williams and, oh, what does it mean when Patrick Williams comes back from injury for Modest? And I was reading it and I was like, it don't mean bleep, because Darnell has had to write that story for the last 5 years.
Oh, dude.
And Modest is playing ball. Let him play ball.
The what's going to motivate Patrick Williams story?
Or he's coming back from injury story.
Uh-huh.
Like, 5 years. It's the same story. I am I'm good with Modest. Modest has been balling out with his opportunity. There is no reason to take minutes from that young man, especially in the minutes environment that you're in.
Well,
that is concluded. Our Bulls on the court conversation.
Now, well, Bulls off the court is going to connect to Bulls on the court. Shout out to Casey Johnson, a wonderful guy, a delightful person with good music taste, a good hang, and obviously a veteran Bulls observer.
When you think dope, you think Casey Johnson.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Actually, I kind of do. I think Casey is dope.
Oh, yeah. I've never smoked dope with the man, and I don't plan to.
That's not what I meant.
I got it. You just meant, yeah, I got you.
Cool guy has all sorts of stories.
Casey
Hell of a basketball player.
He's got a new pod. What's the new pod called, Tanny? Do you know? Because I should. But...
As if I need a podcast to learn more about basketball. By the Horns.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shane.
By the Horns.
It made me relapse.
Not...
Shane, back into basketball.
Shane's a hoops junkie. Tanny is Dr. NBA. They have a very odd relationship.
We just went through a very extensive medical detox, Tanny and I, and he detoxed me, and then I relapsed. And when By the Horns.
And By the Horns is not a suggestion to anybody to take this franchise off the Reinsdorf's hands. It's BY. So By the Horns. Grab the bull where the Bulls buy the horns.
You mess with the bull.
Yeah.
You get the horns.
Well, Casey Johnson messed with Josh Giddey. And of course, as one does, you end up talking about pregame fashion. Let's
You're
listen.
You're kind of
in.
A fashion dude. Where did that start and how into it are you?
Very into it.
Because you can see I am not.
It started when I was in Oklahoma, probably my second year. My first year, I tried to get it, but I couldn't dress. And I didn't want to spend the time trying to get clothes and different things. But my second year, I got into it a lot more. And it's something I've just enjoyed doing and being able to put on different outfits.
And how many jackets do you think you have of those funky jackets?
I got a lot. I got a big closet.
Give me a number.
Jackets?
Yeah. Rough estimate.
I don't know.
200?
I don't know. There's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, right. I got two closets in the house, so they had to. It wouldn't all fit in one room. So
all right.
Yeah.
Stop buying jackets.
So like bomber jackets or what?
Like down coats. Long coats, fur coats, not just suit jackets,
Matt
whatever.
Matt Spiegel, you don't stop naming coats.
Coat draft.
How about instead of shopping for jackets, you learn how to play defense?
Wow, okay? Speaks?
How about instead of going to Jacket Town, you know?
Is that Dustin Rhodes over there? I can't see.
Instead of shopping at Jacket Schmacket and Jackets R Us, you know, over in the Jacket District. You know, instead of shopping over there, why don't you watch some defensive videos?
Jeez.
My God.
I know you thought I was going to be with you on this ride.
200 jackets?
I am not.
What the hell, man?
I don't like his game.
Got
let
a lot
that
of
man
money.
Buy as many jackets as he wants.
Got a lot of money. You're a young kid. Enjoy yourself. Sure, but 200 jackets? Move your feet, man. Next time you're going jacket shopping, why don't you move laterally? And see if you could rotate, maybe. See if the jacket salesman covers another customer, move to where he is, okay? Practice that over at the jacket
it's
store.
It's the jacket. The jacket. The jacket.
200 jackets, man. What the hell?
It's got a lot of jackets.
Come on, Lawrence. Come with me to old man town.
I
the
can't.
Jacket. Why not?
As someone who has a whole bunch of hoodies, I can't hate on this.
How
man.
Many hoodies you got? 30?
Probably 40.
Really?
Yeah.
Got a lot of space for those hoodies, huh?
I do.
Oh, man. Well.
And I'm actually starting to move into, like, bomber jackets. Like, that's going to be kind of a thing, I think.
Oh, really? All right.
From a fashion standpoint.
If you end up with 200. But you play defense. I've seen you play defense.
I do play defense.
On the softball field.
Yeah.
You know how you prepare for the show.
And my basketball game is all defense at this point.
You work on the radio show. If you were messing up the mechanics of this radio show or not checking in on the shared Google Doc or not hanging around on the group thread and you were busy out there buying jackets, I'd have a sit down with you, sir. I would.
Okay, now I know where the line is, so that's good. But I'm okay with him going out and buying jackets.
I'm not.
I would also like for him to play better defense or even try.
I don't think he can do both. It's clear. It's
Those
clear.
Two things are diametrically
it's
opposed.
It's clear that he spent way more time shopping for jackets than he has watching defensive videos or working on his damn defense.
Yeah.
Kid's in love with jackets.
Yeah, he likes clothes.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
It's too many.
Dave Wannstedt is here. We are going to have him in studio. Along with having him in studio, we are going to talk with Troy Aikman. All of that is coming up next on The Score.